Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
This year marks 25 years since juries were abolished in defamation cases in the UK, but Irish courts continue to use juries for defamation despite critics saying that they slow the process down, the awards are inconsistent and unpredictable in terms of the damages. So, should we follow our nearest neighbours, or are juries ideally placed to determine just how much someone's reputation has been impacted in the public mind? Well, to discuss this, I'm joined by solicitor and senior counsel Stuart Gilhooly and solicitor and barrister Michael Keely, and you're both welcome to the programme. Thank you for being here. Michael, you're the person advocating for a change. What's wrong with the system that we have now that has been operating for many decades? What's wrong?
It's anachronistic. Jury decisions are opaque. They're unpredictable. They're time consuming. They lead to a delay in trials coming on for hearing. They lengthen the trial. And they lead to vastly increased costs as a result of that.
But if the question you're asking is, has this person's reputation been damaged in the public mind and by how much? Who better to decide that than a jury of their peers?
The person who's better decided who can do that better in a complex area of law is the judge. It happens throughout Europe in every civil jurisdiction. It happens in the United Kingdom. No one is saying, for example, that the decision that was made in Wagatha Christie, the case between Colleen Rooney and Jamie Vardy's wife, that that decision was any of the worse. And the reason for that fundamentally is it's much better if you're getting your reputation vindicated to have a reasoned decision by a judge setting out the reasons why you've won or lost the particular case, mm-hmm. than a decision made by a jury in darkness when you have no idea why they found for you or against
you. Okay, so what do you say to that, Stuart? It's just not clear when we get to the end of the process, and the judge is best placed to make these decisions and do them in a more timely fashion.
Yeah, well, the thing about defamation and you know, injury to people's reputation is that it occurs in the community. So if you have, you know, if you are defamed, say, on a radio station or on TV or a newspaper, anything like that, that reputation damage permeates throughout the community. And it seems only fair and only right that the decision made as to the effect of that reputation and the damage to that reputation should be decided by members of the public who are the people who actually hear that. So there aren't actually that many defamation trials heard in the High Court in a year. I mean, you could count on one hand the amount that are heard. So we're not talking about a huge number of cases. We're not talking about a huge amount of litigation that has to take place. So what you're doing is you're taking away the right of a people to have their reputation vindicated by the people, their peers, for the sake of maybe a few cases and to save possibly money or possibly not. I mean, there's another way of looking at this.
Perhaps. Are there so few cases heard because of the jury?
We don't know that. We don't know that's the reason. That's an assumption that's made, but that's actually never been proved. For instance, way back in 1988, when personal injury cases were abolished, or juries abolished in personal injury cases, it was assumed that less cases would be heard and that would reduce costs. It didn't have that effect at all. So it's an assumption that's been made, but without any evidence.
What about the backlog, though, in cases? Would it not help with that if we didn't have juries?
I mean, there's no real reason to believe in that. I mean, obviously, juries in one sense do hold it because they have to be impaneled. But again, there aren't actually that many cases that have to be heard in the High Court on these cases, on defamation matters. The number of cases that have been brought for defamation have reduced greatly over the years. Mm-hmm. So I think, again, for the sake of taking away the right of a person to have their reputation vindicated by their peers, for the sake of maybe saving 6 months in time, I just don't think that's right or proportionate.
It's not worth it, Michael, is what he's saying.
Yeah, the simple reason why there are currently so few cases is because it is simply far too expensive. The length of time that the case comes on. Defamation now is only for the very rich and the very poor. And the reason for that, quite simply, is the amount of costs that are involved.
And you attribute that to the fact that juries are involved.
One of the reasons for that is that juries lengthen trials, costs go up. It's believed to be a very complicated area in the law. So if you take any high court case now, if you're looking at the costs in that case, you're looking at 10 lawyers. You've got two senior counsel in each side, junior counsel on each side, a solicitor and an assistant solicitor will all be given the legal costs in that. Look, we have a case going on at the moment. I'm not going to go into the details of that. You've got the case of Gerry Adams in the BBC. It's now gone on for 4 weeks. It started in 2016. It's taken 8.5 years for the case to get on. And the costs, we're now in week four, are probably in the region of €1 million. People simply cannot afford that.
But just, I mean, in general terms, are you saying that that is because we have juries involved in these cases, that the delays and the cost are attributable to that?
High court cases before a jury, on average, are twice as long as they would be before a judge alone.
Do you agree with that, Stuart?
Well, again, there's no proof of that because we haven't in general done that. There are very few cases that are heard in Ireland by a judge alone. There's an option to do so, but there's a reason why people choose to have juries hear their cases. I mean, you don't have to have your case heard by a jury, but most people choose to have it done that way. And there is no proof that that is the case. Take, for instance, I mean, in England, we talked about England earlier, where 25 years ago they changed it. The Rebecca Vardy case took weeks. Mm-hmm. The Johnny Depp case took weeks. So, yeah, we're talking about Adams taking weeks, but it's a highly important case. It has to take time. You have to do it right. And there is absolutely no reason to believe that a jury is going to be a lot longer than a judge. Also, one thing you can be certain of is if judges hear cases alone, there'll be more appeals because jury decisions are harder to appeal because of the respect that they get.
Jury decisions are harder to appeal because nobody knows the reasons upon which they were based. The reason you have an appellate system before judges is that the judges in all courts are obliged to set out their reasoning, set out their thinking, and then if a side is disgruntled with that, they can then appeal it. The problem that you have with a jury decision, whether you've lost as a plaintiff or where you've lost as a defendant, is that no one knows how they've reached the decision. And you're not allowed to know how they've reached the decision. And the idea that in the 21st century, where we are in favour of transparency and openness, that we allow decisions to be made in darkness and then say, well, you can't really go behind what the jury have decided, is a complete anachronism.
Can we talk about the cost, Stuart, for a moment? Because everybody can agree, I think, that defamation cases are hugely costly. That has a chilling effect on journalists whose job it is to hold the powerful and the wealthy to account. I mean, is that not made much more intense, that feeling, that chilling feeling, by the unpredictability of jury rulings and jury trials?
Well, firstly, just to deal with actually cost, one thing that Michael said earlier was the reason there are so few cases taken is because of the cost, and only the wealthy and the poor who can take it. The reality is that a lot of cases are taken on a no-win, no-fee basis. So you don't actually have to have a huge amount of money to take a case to vindicate your own reputation. So it's not stopping plaintiffs taking cases. I accept what you say about defendants. And of course, there is an element of unpredictability, but the Higgins case in the Supreme Court has taken away a lot of that. So what we're now dealing with here is the Supreme Court decision in 2022, Higgins v. the Aviation Authority, which provided guidelines for damages which judges are now obliged to give to juries. So that element of unpredictability as to what a cost would be is pretty much gone now. And in fact, since the 2009 Act came in, there have been very few appeals. You count on one hand the amount of appeals there have been in relation to proportionality of damages. So a lot of the problems that existed in the past in relation to unpredictability of juries and the amount of money that could be given are gone with the 2009 Act and specifically with the Higgins decision in 2022.
Do you agree with that, Michael?
No. the Higgins decision does not get rid of the issue. As we've already said, one of the major problems that you have here is of costs. If you retain the juries, even under the Higgins and Irish Aviation Authority decision, the costs are still going to be enormous. The other thing about the Higgins decision that we have, it's effectively a sticking plaster on top of a gaping wound. The Supreme Court have tried over at least four different ways to try to get juries to stop being erratic. Every single one of those has failed. It used to be that you couldn't say anything to a jury about what the case is worth. It then became, well, you can tell them it might be worth a house or it might be worth a dinner or it might be worth a car. It then became, oh, well, we'll now have to tell them what the Supreme Court are doing and now we're giving them bans. They have tried this four times. It has failed on every single occasion. It's a sticking plaster. we've got to get rid of the major problem, and the major problem is the existence of juries. And nobody can tell me that a decision made by a judge that in some way that Colleen Rooney feels less vindicated because she won her case in the United Kingdom when a judge gave a 100-page decision saying, this is why I believe you're right.
Surely, that, George, you have faith in our judges to make the call in these cases.
I do, of course. And you know what? They have faith in themselves as well. But one of the most, the biggest advocates against this idea is Bernard Barton, the judge who actually presided over that list for a long time. And he firmly believes himself that juries are in a better place to do it than he himself as a judge. He thinks he's the right man for that job. So they're the right person for that job. So I think we have to take that on board. And Michael's saying, look, sticking plaster, it doesn't work. Give it a chance. Higgins was only 3 years ago. The 2009 Act was only 16 years ago. This is all very recent. Give these things a chance to bed down. If it turns out that Michael's right in 10 years' time, that juries are still giving unpredictable results, then fine, let's revisit it. But give it a chance.
Is it only in defamation cases where you believe, Michael, that juries are inappropriate?
I believe in civil cases generally. So there are some other...
But in criminal
there
are cases, limited just cases. To be clear.
No, in criminal cases, I have no issue at all. You can have a jury in a criminal case, and I think there are good reasons for that. Because I think in some ways you do have that issue, which they believe happens in criminal cases, which is that if a judge is hearing the case alone, that they become a little bit more influenced. They're a bit more status, let's put it that way, than the ordinary member.
But does it not give you pause for thought, as Stuart said, that the judge who oversaw many of these cases before his retirement said this is the way to go?
I have debated this issue with Judge Barton, and I have the utmost respect for him, but I fervently disagree with him. In very simple terms, we appoint judges to make decisions. That's what they're paid for. They need to make decisions. You can agree with the decision or you can disagree with the decision, but fundamentally that's their job, to apply the law and to make decisions. And they're well capable of doing that in defamation cases. They do it in lots of other cases where people's reputations are at stake. If I was sued for, let's say, bullying, that wouldn't be heard before a jury. But if I won that case before a judge, I'd be perfectly happy. If the person who alleged I had bullied them won that case before a judge, they would be perfectly happy. It doesn't matter whether there's a jury there or not.
OK, gentlemen, we're not going to reach agreement here, but we had a good airing of the facts and your views. So thank you very much for coming in. Stuart Gilhooly and Michael Keeley, back after this break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.